Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. We're looking forward to this broadcast together as we face the issues. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That's your telephone number that gets you that telephone call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that you can join in this dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you that this broadcast, Let's Face the Issues, is designed around you, our listener. It is our prayer and desire that it creates excitement, encouragement. It gives insight and education. It also should inspire and convict to bring us to new heights and levels of involvement in the study of the Word of God and the understanding of where we are and what's happening in our world. And as I've reminded you so many times before, let me remind us once again that as we face the issues, we do so not based on denominational dogma. It's not based on ideological philosophy. It's not based on political agenda. It is based on the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Lest I forget, let me remind you also that as we face the issues, we need to do so from a central biblicist worldview. That is, what does the Word of God say? We see a lot of things taking place in our world today. See many things taking place in America today that should frighten the socks off most of us. The balance of it, it should be a awakening as to where we are theologically, doctrinally, and biblically, prophetically, where we are in our land and where we are in the world. But Jesus talked about truth. He said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, what is truth? That was the question that was asked. And Jesus said, thy word is truth, in John 17:17. So it's the truth of the Word of God that I pray that you will be focused on and the understanding of what to do in our society today. Let me just, by way of introduction, read a few verses in Matthew chapter 24. The disciples had asked the Lord Jesus Christ, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of the coming of the end of the world. Now, many times individuals, even as Christians, say, well, if we don't worry about it, we don't talk about it, if we're not concerned about it, if we don't study about it, if we just leave it alone, ignore the signs of the coming of the end of the world, that it's okay. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're seeing many of these signs coming together uniformly, uniquely, and they're coming faster than most can fully realize and fathom. And Jesus answered his disciples and said, take heed, let no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9 of Matthew 24 says, then shall many deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity, that's the word for lawlessness, twisted, perverted sin, shall abound, that's be rampant, the love of many shall wax cold. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're facing some of these signs today in society and in the world. And in the United States of America, I believe we're facing a crisis that should be the ultimate coming to the ultimate crescendo that will bring about what God is saying in the prophetic text about the end of the world and the end of the age. In fact, the Apostle Paul, as he was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, said to Timothy in the 2 Timothy text, the 3rd chapter, verse 1 and following, "And know this also, in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're facing a crisis in America today. Now, is it a crisis that can be intervened and handled? Well, from a human standpoint, perhaps somewhat. There might be the possibility of delaying or diverting or in some way simply diluting this crisis that's on the horizon. But I don't think there's any such thing as our totally removing the crisis that's in America, because I believe it's God's continual escalation of the last days in which we're living in. Ladies and gentlemen, we now have 20 candidates running for the president on the Socialist Democratic Party side. The Socialist Party side. I'm going to start leaving the word Democratic out because it's the Socialist Party in America. What is so alarming, ladies and gentlemen, is that the platform that they're on, all are advocating for the Green New Deal. That's a socialist agenda. And this Green New Deal will totally collapse our economy. It will collapse the economic system. It will give government total control over what we do, what we eat, what we drink, what kind of buildings and homes we live in. It will eliminate cars and planes and meats, especially cows, and any private insurance. Government will literally control our lives. By the way, the one that is referred to as AOC, that is a freshman Democrat socialist in the House, she is the de facto leader of the House, the Speaker of the House. What she says, everybody else cowers and falls in line. If you don't believe that, look at the 20 that's running for president on the Socialist Party. The 20 that's running, all 20 of them are buying into her, quote, Green New Deal. And the idea is simply to surrender 1/6 of the nation's economy over to the government. That's through the insurance. Now, the Green New Deal, that will literally put social insurance in the hands of the government. It will put our nation in the hands of the government. According to the Green New Deal, airplanes will have to be outmoded and outlawed. The eating of meats would have to be because of the flatulence in the air that's destroying the ozone layers, according to these nutcakes that's saying that we need to have the Green New Deal. It is, ladies and gentlemen, it is something that a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, most sane Americans would have never dreamed would be on the horizon and being pushed. Then we have the candidate Andrew Yang that wants to give $100, not $100,000, $1,000 per month to each and every person in America, including illegal aliens. Here's the article. Andrew Yang, vote for me and get $12,000 a year. The presidential hopeful Andrew Yang is standing by his plan to cut every citizen in America a monthly check just for being 18 years old or older. And it's not necessarily just for Americans. It's for everyone that's in America. Ladies and gentlemen, that, I don't know about you, but that's frightening to think that we'd have anybody that will step on the scenes and step up to the plate and say they're a candidate for president of the United States of America with that kind of ideology and philosophy. And then there's that, everybody's heard of him, Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Well, Pete is an open sodomite. Pete Buttigieg is pushing his immoral, sinful lifestyle and having said so many times that if you got a problem with me, and he's been chiding Vice President Pence, and he's saying, if you've got a problem with me, and he's talking about his homosexuality, if you got a problem with me, you need to talk with my creator. Well, God created him, but God didn't create him a sodomite. God created every one of us, but God didn't create the sin in our lives. We make a volitional choice to do so. And I'm delighted to see Franklin Graham coming up to the bat and taking a stand verbal and visible in so many of these categories. Here's an article that says, Franklin Graham to Buttigieg, we don't define sin, God does. Pete Buttigieg doesn't have the authority to define sin. Evangelist Franklin Graham said Thursday in response to the openly gay Indiana mayor's recent criticism of Vice President Mike Pence's faith and his stance on same-sex marriage. To set the record straight, Mr. Mayor, this is coming from Franklin Graham, to set the record straight, Mr. Mayor, the issue isn't whether somebody has a problem with you. It is the issue is that we all have a problem with God because of sin. And he goes further to say, this is Franklin Graham speaking publicly to Pete Buttigieg, we don't define sin. God does in his word. The Bible, using new terms like progressive Christianity and Christianity left, may sound appealing to some, but God's laws and God's standards do not change. Franklin Graham says, and he quotes, "For I am the Lord, I change not." And he goes further to say, "I believe what the Bible says is truth, whether Pete Buttigieg does or not." Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the era in which we're living in. We're living in a society today that we're watching the crisis and all of these tentacles in this crisis. You might say, "Doc, that's not a crisis." Yes, it is. Because we as Americans, for the most part, across America, embracing the philosophies and the ideas of these 20 socialist candidates. If you don't believe that, look at some of their rallies. I mean, it's not as President Trump's rallies. President Trump will have 25, 30, 40,000 people. Pete Buttigieg will have 200, 300 people. Beto will have 300, 400 people. Here is the latest one, Joe Biden, that's into the race. He'll have 300, 400 people. And the media will not even show the crowd. They'll just announce it as having a large rally and a large crowd. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about crisis in America. I want you to hear me and hear me well today. I want you to understand this is not from a negative standpoint. This is from a positive standpoint that we need to understand what we're faced with in America and to recognize as Christians what we need to do. Because, see, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is all that we're seeing with this Green New Deal and the socialist agenda redounds to the absolute detriment and ultimate destruction of freedom of religion in America and Christianity as we know it today. But we're not to be surprised. Jesus said in John 15:18, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we're finding taking place today. You might say, how do all of these things that you're talking about dovetail with biblical Christianity? Because, ladies and gentlemen, the thing that should frighten every Christian to death, not frightened from the standpoint that we're afraid because we need to be reminded that God's in control, but we need to be aware of the fact that under socialism, spirituality, Christianity, and the church will no longer exist as we know it today. If you don't believe that, look at every socialist nation around the globe. If you don't believe that, look at this. And socialism, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is communism light, L-I-T-E. That's what we're faced with. Here's this candidate, Eric Swalwell. He is out of California, representative out of California. Eric Swalwell says he will outlaw gun ownership, and if you do not surrender your weapons, you will be fined and or go to jail. And I want us to understand, we have about 180 to 200 million firearms in America that's held in the hands of citizens. So let's picture 180 million citizens with firearms. Got about 325 million in America. That means we've got somewhere in the neighborhood of 65 to 75% of Americans that own handguns. And here's Swalwell saying, in fact, here's where he puts it, ladies and gentlemen. He says that if you have a gun, you have to have it at the gun range. You cannot keep it at home. You can have it at the gun range. You can have it in a lock box. You can have the ammunition in a separate box. You can have a trigger lock on your weapon. But if you have it in your home, and you don't have the trigger lock, you have your weapon, ammunition in it, then you can, gun can be confiscated and taken, and you can be fined or imprisoned. That's his position. Now, if you don't believe that's a problem, then look at your Bill of Rights, the one that we have, the Second Amendment, that is the right to keep and bear arms, and that the right to keep and bear arms ought not to be infringed upon. And Eric Swalwell says, well, that's just talking about militia. And we've got a militia in the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're not so sad, it'd be laughable. We're talking about the crisis in America. There's Kamala Harris, and she says that in the first 100 days she's in office, she will have an executive order controlling all weapons in America. She said, if she's elected and Congress does not pass gun control legislation within the first 100 days that she's in office, that she will, by executive order, outlaw weapons in America. And she is pushing also for the national legalization of marijuana. In fact, on one of her radio interviews that she's so proud of, and they've shown several times on the Communist Network News, she's proud of the fact that she smoked marijuana, and she laughably says she inhaled it. And then she goes further to say, if it makes you feel good, it makes you happy, it ought to be okay. But ladies and gentlemen, Kamala Harris also says that she's going to outlaw weapons, as I said a moment ago. Here's an article about that. Kamala Harris, and by the way, it's a fascinating article, because she's publicly saying she's against guns, but here's a liberal media outlet that's challenging her. Kamala Harris is unfit to be the Democratic nominee because she owns a handgun, the columnist wrote. The article says, contributor to USA Today wrote that Senator Kamala Harris, Democrat of California, should be disqualified as a candidate for the Democratic National Committee because she owns a handgun. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks that say walls are immoral have walls around their estates. The same Congress people that say that guns are illegal, guns are wrong, guns are bad, also either have an entourage of bodyguards or they have their own weapon and their own permits to carry the weapons, et cetera, et cetera. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about crisis in America. And I want us to look at several of these basic individual points to draw the net and point out these things coming together at one time. And these mantras coming out of these 20 socialist candidates for presidency, these ideas of the Green New Deal and the confiscation of weapons and the socializing of all medicine, et cetera, et cetera. We'll talk about in a moment before we close this broadcast today how this will redound to the lack of any benefit for any citizen in America, and it will redound to the destruction and demoralization and the causing of the church to go underground, I believe, in the United States of America, if this continues. Here's this, Joe Biden. Joe doesn't know what to say. It depends on the crowd he's before. Joe Biden said that he was apologizing being white, that his white privilege. He's apologized to Anita Hill because he ran the investigative committee when there was a, the investigation for the approval of one of the U.S. Supreme Court justices. And as it was Clarence Thomas is who it was. And Clarence Thomas was ultimately approved, and he's been on the bench. And here she was as being, he was head of the committee. And I believe it's Anita Hill that had made some fallacious charges. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's never been made newsworthy all these years. But not too long after the hearings, after she claimed that those things had taken place in her life, she'd also reapplied and asked Clarence Thomas to rehire her in his law firm before he became U.S. Supreme Court Justice. But Joe Biden says that he is going to make America straight again. Now, I don't know what that means, make America straight again. It should frighten all of the homosexuals to death, so he can make America straight again. So I don't know exactly what Joe Biden meant, but Joe Biden is for abortion. Joe Biden is for murder by way of abortion. Joe Biden is for whatever the crowd is for that he might stand before. All of these socialist Democratic candidates, ladies and gentlemen, are for murder by way of abortion. And it is causing even some of the churches across America today. And this is part and parcel of what we're seeing with the crisis scenario, as I call it. If it were just one element or just one candidate, if it were just one fragmented portion of society, but we're seeing it permeating society today. Here's an article that says United Methodist Church proposes new position statement saying we support abortion. It is frightening to find whole denominations supporting abortion, entire denominations supporting the sodomite lifestyle that's better known in the category today of the LGBTQ agenda, the transgender agenda, and those that are sexually dysphoric that do not know that God created only male and female. But ladies and gentlemen, all of these candidates are for that. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, we're finding church after church after church that's finally embracing it. In fact, here's an article that says, Kentucky committee advances bill to ban eugenic abortion on babies with Down syndrome and other disabilities. You heard it right. Once we have embraced murder by way of abortion, Once we have embraced abortion on demand, once we have embraced infanticide, that's having the child born, putting that child over on the table, keeping him comfortable, as the governor of Virginia said, until his mother decides if she wants to keep him or not. Once we've embraced that, then the next stage is making a determination of who is worthy of life. If that child in the womb is deemed to be in somehow, some way deformed or in some way less than full quality, as it would be called, or having, as this article calls it, Down syndrome, then let's dispatch that baby before it's born. This article says Kentucky lawmakers advanced another pro-life bill Wednesday to protect unborn babies with Down syndrome from eugenic abortion in their state. This article further says the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, was a firm believer in eugenics. Sanger said the most successful educational approach to the Negro Project is through a religious appeal. We don't want the word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population, she said. But the minister, speaking of the church, is the man who can strengthen our idea and carry out our ideals and can go against those rebellious members in the church. And this was written up in her autobiographical information several years ago. But most are not aware of the fact that this is the continuation of Margaret Sanger's desire in the project for eugenics to, quote, cleanse the nation of anything that might be the wrong ethnic group or the wrong choice sexually, as the whether it's male or female, or whether it is viable concerning whether or not they are, like with Down syndrome or other problems before birth. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about the fact that we're now embracing these mindsets in society today openly, and out of the 20 socialist candidates, all of them are in favor of this sort of murder by way of abortion. They're in favor of the transsexuals, the gender identity movement, the drugs being legalized, the hate crime bills that are being instituted. In fact, right now in the House, it's being pushed by and promulgated by the socialist on the left, and it is the bill that, if fully passed, and I pray that if it does, that President Trump will veto the bill, but it will literally put the LGBTQ and the Planned Parenthood agenda at the forefront, and every moral, ethical citizen will be the one that is saying things that are hateful and wicked and bad. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we're watching the crisis point come to a crescendo. We're watching through this push with the homosexual, transsexual, genders, dysphoric agenda that is taking place today, with the morals and the ethics and the values of America today being absolutely thwarted and downplayed, and all you hear from the left is that which is quoted by or stated by the LGBTQ agenda, even with, as I said, with Mayor Pete from South Bend, Indiana, as the governor, as an open, in-your-face, unapologetic, out-of-the-closet sodomite. Yet he says he's a Christian, and all of the socialist Democrats are against anything being said about that, ladies and gentlemen. They're praising him on the fake news media, and all of these are against the security of our nation. All of these candidates are against having a wall for security. In fact, Pope Francis just last week, Pope Francis has come up to the plate, if you will, and he is personally funding $500,000 to have some of these invasion groups to come into America and to be part of the overthrow of the American sovereign nation as we are today. I am saddened to see, and you need to understand, that what we're finding and what we see taking place is that which I believe is going to be very, very difficult in the future. Here's an article written on that. Pope Francis has donated $500,000 to assist migrants in coming into Mexico for America. The funds from the Peter's Pence collection will be distributed among 27 projects promoted by 16 Mexican dioceses and religious congregations, which requested assistance in continuing to provide food, lodging, and basic necessities for the invasion coming into America. Ladies and gentlemen, there's one group of invaders that's approaching now that I believe have the correct media said about 20,000 in that invasion group that's coming in, wanting headed to the American borders. I don't know what we think is going to take place if we continue to allow it. And much of that, ladies and gentlemen, are those that are coming in that will help to Islamicize the United States of America. In fact, an article here says, can the Islamization of America be stopped? Today, our country is faced with a strong opponent in the Trojan horse called Islam. This clear and present danger makes it imperative to revisit the United States Constitution to see if freedom of religion gives Muslims a license to break the American laws. And we need to study that. We need to analyze it and understand where we're talking about the crisis in America. Let's get to the bottom line in these last few moments on this broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, why should we be worried? You, our listener, why should you be concerned? Why should I beg and plead with you each day to get on the telephone, call your legislators, call the city council members, call the state representatives, call our U.S. representatives and Senate members, and say, no, 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 there's got to be a stopping point. Why is this? Ladies and gentlemen, our nation is now facing a national crisis. We're divided ethnically. We're divided socially. We're divided politically. We're divided spiritually. And our division causes America to be weak and open for any enemy's attack for the destruction of our nation. Here is a good illustration of the divisiveness even in spiritual things. This article says, seminary president admits, listen carefully, I'll read it again. Seminary president admits that she doesn't believe in heaven, she doesn't believe in miracles or Christ's resurrection. Here's the basics from the article. Seminary president admits that she doesn't believe in heaven, miracles, or Christ's resurrection. The president of a seminary founded in 1836 on the infallible word of God says in a new interview she doesn't believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. She doesn't believe in the power of prayer or a literal heaven or any literal miracles. Union Theological Seminary's founding constitution stated the seminary's goal was to promote the kingdom of Christ. Professors were required to affirm they believe the scriptures, Old and New Testament, to be the word of God and the only infallible rule for faith and practice. But the present president of the seminary says, quote, she rejects a literal bodily resurrection of Christ. Quote, when you look in the Gospels, the story is all over the place. There's no resurrection story in Mark, just an empty tomb. Those who claim to know whether or not it happened were kidding themselves, Jones says. Crucifixion is not something that God is orchestrating from upstairs. The pervasive idea of an abusive Godfather who sends his kids out to the cross so God could forgive people is nuts. For me, the cross is an enactment of human hatred. But what happens on Easter is the triumph of love in the midst of suffering. Isn't that a reason to hope after all? Ladies and gentlemen, this is coming from the mouth of a woman that's the head of Union Theological Seminary in upstate New York. And ladies and gentlemen, it was founded on the basis of the Word of God. We're talking about division as a result of these events that we're seeing and these socialists that are running for president. They're not the fomenting cause. It is caused by Satan and his attempt to tear down and destroy. But I want us to understand that we're eventually going to find the invasion of Islam. We're eventually going to find where there's a total socialistic America unless we the people do something. What's the answer? What should we do? How should we then live, as Francis Schaeffer said so many years ago, and particularly in the title of his book? It is very, very simple, and I don't want to oversimplify it one whit, but we're faced with the fact that we as Christians need to be visible, we need to be verbal, we need to be valiant, we need to stand. And the only way that's possible, ladies and gentlemen, is if we know the truth of the Word of God. The only way that's possible is if we understand the power of prayer. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Ladies and gentlemen, America needs to turn back to God. We need to turn back to God. We need to seek His face and ask His forgiveness and His intervention in this old nation in which we're living in today. Thank you so much for joining us in this broadcast. Looking forward to facing the issues once again, even tomorrow, as you join us on the air.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.